Today's topic is a delicious and fascinating one, and that is the topic of charoses. I want to begin with the end in mind and ask you a question to think about. This is going to be the destination of this whole presentation. What would happen in the following unfortunate circumstance where a person found themselves on the night of the Seder, unfortunately, without any maror? So obviously they're going to eat matzah. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa, a biblical mitzvah. But they can't fulfill the mitzvah of maror. The question is, should they eat anything else? Well, what might that last option be? Should they eat charoses? So let's begin with understanding why we have charoses in the first place. So our Gemara here in Maseches Pesachim, in the third page, in the Gemara in Kuf Tezayin, gave us several reasons that we want to have charoses. So one option was, we quote from Rabbi Ami, which also appears earlier in the Gemara, that we are concerned about kappa. Kappa is some kind of dangerous either organism or chemical, something that was present, that existed, that they were sensitive to in the times of the Gemara, that we're not familiar with today. But in those times, they were aware that there was some dangerous substance that was potentially hazardous on the maror, and that if you were to dunk your maror into the charoses, based on what the ingredients of the charoses is, which we'll talk about in a little bit, of course, that would prevent this kappa. Now, nobody during the rest of the year was worried about the kappa, but Achronim point out that on the night of the Seder, we had a heightened sense of awareness of this kappa, and even though during the rest of the year, nobody dipped their lettuce into charoses, on the night of the Seder, we want to be extra careful and make sure for this chiyuv, for this obligation, nobody's worried about the kappa. That's the first option. Okay.
We're assuming that maror's remain.
Yes, so the Gemara says earlier, there are five possible options. As you saw in the Shulchan Aruch, God forbid, even if you don't have those five, a person would take something that's bitter, lo aleinu, and some of us know people who lived at a time where halayla hazeh kulo maror, where they lived at a time where they didn't have not matzah, but as people would tell you, they said they had no shortage of maror, lo aleinu. So they ate sometimes bitter grass, which was not, it's not in the list. But if you look in the list, and the Gemara says that it is in sequential order of preference, the first thing on the list is chazeres, which the Gemara translates as chasa, which is lettuce. And the Gemara says the reason why you eat chasa is because HaTorah, that the Rebbe Shem, Rachmona chas al Yisrael, Hashem had compassion. The word chas, ches, and samach is the same root, lettuce and compassion. So ideally, you should take lettuce. Now there's a lot, today we're not talking about maror, but there's a lot of discussion in Poskim, what kind of lettuce? So it should certainly be romaine lettuce, make sure there are no bugs. Some achronim didn't like romaine lettuce because it's not so bitter, so some said you have to leave it in the ground, but Shechter points out you don't have to leave it in the ground according to most poskim, just because if you left it in the ground, it would become bitter. So that would be enough to fill your shear of maror, which is what I think is the contemporary practice. Most people use romaine lettuce. They wash it carefully. Some have the minhag to use chrein, but as Rav Shechter points out, chrein might be important to keep a family tradition going of what they used to use in Europe because they didn't have access to romaine lettuce. But lechatchila, the best thing is to use, certainly for the kazayis of maror, it's to use romaine lettuce. So they would take the lettuce and dip it into the charoses. That would kill the kappa. That's the first option. But okay, pre-washed romaine. But the Gemara here tells us two rationales for charoses that we are familiar with, and the Yerushalmi is going to add a third. The Gemara here tells us one suggestion is Reb Levi says zecher letapuach, and Reb Yochanan says zecher letit.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 3. What does it mean when Reb Levi says that it is zecher letapuach? Well, the Gemara says in Sota Yud Aleph Amid Beis that when they were in this horrible situation of Shibud Mitzrayim, of the enslavement in Egypt, the women, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, were the ones who precipitated the Geula with their hope and their anticipation. So the Gemara tells us that there is a beautiful description that the women would encourage their husbands to be with them, and they would deliver their babies, holchus fiyoldos besode tachas atapuach, shenemar tachas atapuach or articha. And the Gemara tells us a miraculous story that the malachim would come and hide these babies. But the symbol, the imagery of the tapuach is this story, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It's the love, the hopefulness that the Jewish women had, that they were birthing a new generation in Mitzrayim. So that's the first metaphor. That's the first image. That's one of love, of connection. The word tapuach, what is it? So it might be apple, but Rav Shechter, my Rebbe, likes to point out that the word tapuach, likely in Tanakh, based on the Tosfos, does not mean apple. When it says tachas ha-tapuach or articha in Shir HaShirim, it says you check with the horticulturalists, they will tell you they did not grow apples in the Middle East in antiquity. Tapuach most likely means a citrus fruit. So it could be an apple that is the type of citrus fruit. Now, why is it important that it is tachas ha-tapuach, that's got to be like a citrus fruit? Because that's what the Gemara says here on page number 3. You saw it. Amra bai hilkach tzarech likiyue. That's why it has to be, likiyue has to be sharp, acidic, like a tapuach, like a citrus fruit. Which is why, usually, before the Seder, when no one is looking, because I don't want to make people nervous, so I'll usually, in my own charosis that I have on my ka'ara, I sneak in some orange juice. Because orange juice, that's tapuach. That's acidic. Right? The apple that you use may not be acidic. It may be sweet. It might not be kiwi. So that's why you could use lemon juice. You could use orange juice. If your minig is not to do this, I'm not trying to start fights in your family. I'm just saying that this is the first remez, the tapuach, and that may have to do with something that's citrus. What's the second affect? What's the second metaphor? We said it was zeichelatid. It reminds us of the bricks and the mortar. So that's why if you look in the Achronim, there's a big discussion about what kinds of things look like straw. So the Gemara here says tavlin. So tavlin, what are tavlin? Spices. Not stam spices. If you want to be like all out on this idea, they take like kinamon. What's kinamon? In rabbinic Hebrew, cinnamon. So you take a little cinnamon thing and you crush it up. Right, you could use ground cinnamon, but ground cinnamon doesn't give you the same, like, break your crown in your mouth effect. Right, the straw like quality. So they talk about kinamon, cinnamon. They talk about ginger, but the idea is that it should have tzarech. The Gemara says lisamuche. It should have a thick texture, zecher latit. So one is it's going to be on one side. We're saying it's zecher. It reminds us of the love, the tapuach. On the other hand, it's zecher. It reminds us of the difficulties, the cement, the mortar. Tosfos now here sends us to Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi says it's zecher ladam. It's got to be zecher ladam. So what do you put in there? Red wine. Exactly. So everybody does that. That goes back to the first column. So zecher ladam is associated with the shibud, the tevin. But Tosfos also points out that we emphasize not just the tapuach. Tosfos points out, he has all these beautiful quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, to use fruits, shenid melekneses Yisrael b'shir ha-shirim. Tachas ha-tapuach or articha, that's one. We said that before. That's on the column of love. We said that was the tapuach from the Gemara in Sota. But then Tosfos quotes, you see here on the left side, he says, kepelach ha-rimon. You should also put in pomegranates. So some people put in pomegranates, they put in figs, they put in dates. All of these are fruits of that Shir HaShirim description of the love. So you have two columns, essentially, which we'll come back to. You have the column, the affect of the difficulty, which is Zecher Latit, reminding you about the mortar. which is going to go with the Yerushalmi, remembering the dam, the blood. And then you have the other side, which is remembering the tapuach, which is either an apple or an orange, some kind of Middle Eastern citrus tree under which we have this loving relationship with Hashem, which is then expanded to other fruits in Shir HaShirim. So these are the two messages of Charoses, which is going to create that recipe that you make. And there are lots of different recipes based on different family minhagim in different communities of how to create this recipe. But the question is, what's the machayev? What generates the obligation? So, back on the first page, you saw the first issue here is a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok and the Chachamim. The first opinion in the Mishnah is you bring charoses to the table. Afal pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. Charoses is not a mitzvah. It's not. But you bring it to the table nonetheless. Why do you bring it to the table? Either for the kappa or for these beautiful images, the metaphors that we want to conjure up at the table. Says Rav Lezer of Tzadok, no, not true. The din of charoses is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So, says the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah, he says something very interesting. He says, number one, this you don't have in the pages, I'm just reading it out for you. The Rambam says in the commentary in the Mishnah, he says, number one, he thinks that we do not paskin, we do not rule in favor of Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. We follow the Chachamim. Is that surprising to you that we should follow the Chachamim? No, not surprising at all. The Chachamim is the majority opinion. However, it's interesting that the Gemara has a lot of discussion in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. And then the Rambam says something fascinating. He says, Reb Tzadok Sha'omer Charoses Mitzvah? He thinks that it's a mitzvah? Chayav leda'ato levorech asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas charoses. He thinks you have to recite a bracha. The bracha of al achilas charoses as a mitzvah midrabbanan, a rabbinic mitzvah. So this is the background for the Rambam that you saw. Because the Rambam that you saw on page 6 and 7 did not say anything like this at all. Quite the opposite. The Rambam says, what did the Rambam say in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Aleph 7:11? Best way to remember this, charoses, 7:11. I don't know if they sell charoses flavored Slurpees. They could. Ben and Jerry's charoses. I didn't know that. Wow. So, says the Rambam, ha charoses mitzvah midivrei sofrim. The charoses is a mitzvah from the rabbis. Zecher letit, it reminds us of the mortar. Shayu ovdim bo b'mitzrayim, that they had to work in Egypt. The ketzad osin osa, how do you make it? You saw this, the Rambam says, lokhin tamarim, you have to take dates, o grogros, or dried figs, o tzimukin, or raisins, v'chayotzeben, v'dorsin osam, you crush them, I'm on the top of seven, v'nozl sochin chometz, and you put vinegar in them, umesavlin also betavlin, and you put spices, kmo tit beteven, just like straw in the mortar. Umevien osa ala shulchan belele psachim. You put it on the table on the night of Pesach. So what is the Rambam's opinion? I want to just get the other halachas for a second, so I have it in front of me. What is the Rambam's opinion on the machlokas, the argument that we mentioned in the Mishnah? Who do we pass in like? The Chachamim or Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok? No. Who do we pass in like? In the passage we just read. You tell me. Yes. So who is that opinion? That's right, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. So first of all, that's pretty surprising. Says the Lech HaMishnah in his commentary on the bottom of the Rambam. He says, wait a minute. The Rambam wrote the Pirush HaMishnayos. And he said, we pass like the Chachamim. So he says, you know what? The Rambam wrote the Pirush of Mishnayos when he was a teenager. Go figure. So the Rambam changed his mind. He changed his view. Okay. But it's still strange. Because what does the Rambam not tell you? What did he say in the commentary on the Mishnah that if you held it was a mitzvah, what would you do? According to Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok. That's right. Does the Rambam say anything about a bracha here? The Rambam's language was, you take this charoses, and mivin, you bring it, osa, al hashulchan b'leilei Pesach. That's interesting. The Rambam says that you put it on the table. Why is that significant? Why are you putting it on the table?
Or why doesn't he say eat it?
Ah! Why doesn't the Rambam tell you eat it?
That at all.
Exactly. When does the Rambam tell you you're going to have charoses? The Rambam tells you, interestingly, in later in Perek Ches, the Rambam says that you take matzah and maror and metabel b'charoses. The Rambam's opinion is that you take your korech, that's what we call korech, and you dip it in. But not only that, the Rambam says that bizman hazeh, in today's day and age, you take your matzah and you dip it in charoses, in Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, 8:8. Have you ever seen anyone do that? Not only did the Rambam dip maror in charoses, not only did he dip the korech, which has maror in it, the Rambam says clearly that you dip matzah in charoses. Comes along Rabbeinu Avram ben David of Poskier, Southern France, Poskier. And he says something, it's very sharp. It's very disrespectful to the Rambam, but the Ravid, he didn't mince words. The Ravid says on this comment, on this halacha, Omer Avram, Abraham says, Ze Hevel, this is hot air. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? Whoever heard of such a thing? Matzah in charoses? The Ravid says, that's ridiculous. Nobody in their right mind thinks that you put matzah in charoses. So what's going on with this Rambam? Comes Rav Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik, and he says, I'm going to tell you what's going on with this Rambam. And based on this analysis, we're going to come up with a fascinating and very substantial, significant nafkamina, practical outcome. He says, clearly the Rambam changed his mind. But what does it mean the Rambam changed his mind? He thought that the halacha should be one way, and then he thought the halacha should be a different way. No. The Rambam had one analysis of what the argument was about, and then he changed his mind to a reassessment of how to understand the analysis. The first time the Rambam looked at this machlokas, when he was a teenager, he said, oh, you know what they're arguing about? Whether or not there is a mitzvah of achilas charoses midrabanan. Is there a rabbinic requirement to eat charoses? Which some say is related to the word cheres, like clay. That according to the Chachamim, there is not. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, there is. So if there's any mitzvah midrabanan to eat something, what should you do? You should recite a bracha. Says Rav Soloveitchik, and this is quoted in his Haggadah called Siach HaGrid, he says, then the Rambam says, no, you know what? That's not what they're arguing about. No one ever thought that there was a mitzvah to eat charoses. Rather, the Rambam thought that the Chachamim say it is a zecher, it's a nice thing, and Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok thinks that it's a mitzvah, but both of them agree that what you're doing is not an independent mitzvah, it is an enhancement of your Seder. Reb Lezer Reb Tzadok does not think there is an independent mitzvah to eat a cup of charoses. What he thinks is, the Rambam says, there is a mitzvah to have charoses on the table, so that when you're telling the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have those flavors. And because it is a condition, a tanai, a dimension of your Seder, the Rambam thinks that everything at the Seder should be part of that. Every part of your Seder should engage charoses. It shouldn't just be on the table, like he says in Perek Zion. Whatever you're eating, dip it in, including what? Matzah. Because matzah is part of the story of Tzipitzis Mitzrayim, of course. So matzah is going to have a flavor of charoses. Everything should have that flavor of charoses. So we remember the Tevin. So we remember now, according to the Tosfos, we also remember the other things. According to the Rambam, it's not an independent mitzvah. So now, why does the Rambam think that you don't make a bracha? Because the Rambam's analysis is that everyone agrees there's no mitzvah achila. It's not a mitzvah to eat it. Fascinating, right? That explains the change of the Rambam, and it explains why there's no bracha. However, if you look at the Radvaz, Rav David Ibn Zimmer from the 16th century, the Radvaz in the Tshuva, which I made sure to look up so you wouldn't say, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's in 1692, if you're keeping track of his responsa, because he wrote quite a few. 1692, if you're keeping score. Aleph Tuf Reish Tzadi Beis. Someone asked him, Mishaila, why does the Rambam think that you don't make a bracha on charoses? So he gives two answers. He says, number one, well, Bizman, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, since it was ancillary to all the other things you were eating, and those things that you were eating were biblical mitzvahs, matzah, maror. So that's why they didn't institute a bracha for that. The second suggestion he has is that, well, we know whenever you have two things that come together, you have an ikar, a mainstay, and a tafel, something that's an appendage, you only recite one bracha on the main thing. So let's say you're eating a sandwich, and you have, I don't know, you have two slices of lettuce. Let's take an easy case. You have lettuce, two slices of lettuce, and then 16 slices of salami in the middle. Because you want to be healthy, so you have the lettuce, but you want to have a salami sandwich. So what's the ikar? What's the main thing that you're eating? Salami. And you're eating the whole thing together, so you only make a shahakal on that. So he says, well, since the charos is only a tafel, it's an appendage, so you don't make an independent bracha. So there is a big Talmud Chacham in Israel who writes many interesting svarim. Some of them are halacha lamaisa questions that he gets, that he arranges according to parshios or according to the Gemara. This sefer is called Chashukei Chemed. His name is Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. So he was asked the question that we asked at the beginning: what happens if a person has no maror? Do they still eat charoses? Right. The Shulchan Aruch says halacha lamaisa. We don't follow the Rambam. We do not put our matzah in charoses. We put the mar in charoset, then we shake it off, so it shouldn't take away the bitter taste. There are two different opinions in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Achronim about whether you put charoset on your korech. Different people probably have different minhagim. There's a group of things, you know, one way, but different approaches. Nobody thinks you put it on the matzah. So, l'maisa b'zman hazeh, meikar adin, the only time you really need it is on your maror. But what if you don't have maror? So Rav Zilberstein says, well, according to the Radvaz, the reason why you don't make a bracha is because it's a tafel. It's just ancillary to the other mitzvos. Or in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was ancillary and therefore it wasn't included. Well, if you have only lettuce and no salami, and you decide to eat lettuce for lunch, what bracha are you going to recite? That's it. So Rav Zilberstein suggests that if you don't have maror, you should still eat charoses.
It's different than the salami situation. You were dipping in the charoses for a purpose.
Oh, so he's saying, since the Rambam paskins that it's a mitzvah, and the only reason you're not making a bracha is because it's a tafel, well, if you have the mitzvah and it's no longer a tafel, we're not going to institute a bracha, but you still have the mitzvah sachila.
But is it a mitzvah if you don't have the thing that's dipped in?
So if you understand, that, like Rav Zilberstein, that there is, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah midivrei sofrim to have charoses.
Because
what?
You have to dip something.
Well, that's exactly the machlokes. The assumption that Rav Zilberstein is making is that the mitzvah is a mitzvah to eat. And theoretically, you should have said a bracha of Asher Kedishanu B'Tzolzav Tzivanu al achilas charoses, which is essentially the premise of the Radvaz. According to the Radvaz, do you have a mitzvah sachila? Probably. That's what it sounds like. And according to the Radvaz, should you recite a bracha of Asher Kedishanu B'Tzolzav Tzivanu? Probably. So why don't we? For a technical reason. But once you remove that technical reason, what do you fall back on? The old idea that there is a mitzvah to eat charoses. Now that the Rambam switched his psak, like the Lech HaMishnah said, from the Chachamim to Rebbe Elazar Reb Tzadok. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, that's dead wrong. It's not true. According to Rav Soloveitchik, the Rambam does not think there's a mitzvah achila. There's no mitzvah to eat charoses. There's a mitzvah to have charoses on the table, and that charoses should serve as a condiment for all the things that you're eating over the course of the meal. But the whole function of it is to serve as an enhancer of your Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, not an independent mitzvah achila. So this, l'chora, this is the nafkamina, this is the practical difference between these two ways of defining charoses according to the Rambam. According to the way of the Radvaz and Rav Zilberstein, the Rambam thinks that we pass like Rav Lezer, Rav Tzadok, and therefore it is a mitzvah of eating, and therefore you should eat charoses, whether you have maror or not. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, that's not the correct analysis. The Rambam never thought in the Mishnah Torah that there's a mitzvah to eat it. He thought that in his commentary on the Mishnayos, and then he changed his mind. Which is why, in the Lashon of the Rambam says, you put it on the table, and he does not mention that you recite a bracha.
So, clearly you don't have maror, according to Rav Soloveitchik.
You would not eat charoses, precisely. According to Rav Zilberstein, if you don't have maror, you eat charoses. According to Rav Soloveitchik, you do not eat charoses, independent of all the other mitzvos.
But under any opinion, it's all with Rabbanah.
Correct. But the... But
that's the explanation for the question I was about to ask.
Yeah.
Why the charoses was independently required, if it should have been included, that you have to say Pesach Matzah Maror, and you'll say Yehovah.
Okay, so right. So those are, and certainly in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, those were all three Midaraisa: Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Bizman Hazeh, today we don't have a Pesach. Matzah is Min Torah, and Maror is only Midrabanan. I'll end with just one thought, which you're probably very familiar with, that this idea of charoses accompanying our journey out of Egypt on the night of the Seder, these conflicting feelings are present in the whole experience and in our lives. There are times when we feel our connection to Hashem is in the category of Zeichel LaTapuach, when we feel loved and cared for and thankful for all of the blessings. And then there are times in life when a person has Zeichel LaTit, when they remember Hashem in the difficulties, in the struggles. This is the symbol, this complex relationship that we have with Hashem is the symbol of the whole night of Pesach. And our ability to nurture our relationship with Hashem in both simultaneously sometimes. To eat charoses, to feel love, but also to feel the challenge. To connect in a way of appreciation of Hakaras HaTov of Dayenu, but also in the context of Vanitzach. And that's the complexity of life, which is really highlighted by this food, this specialty at your Seder table, known as charoses.